to other precious metals dealers. Shockingly, we've made attempts over the years to hire people from larger volume, precious metals broker dealer, whatever. We say broker dealer depository service for the simple fact that it's who we are. It's a little bit unique. It's quite a bit different than anything that I've seen before. Let's see. I'm thinking if it's sounding like there's a connection problem. I'm not sure if there is or there isn't. I hope you're hearing me. But anyway, we are unique in the fact that we're more than just a precious metals dealer. We are investment guidance counselors. We've got a real strong background. Let's see here. I'm working on something real quick here, technical, making sure we're connected. Sorry here, my apologies if you can hear this. I'm just double checking because it just doesn't sound like I'm connected from my end. There's definitely no problem. There's no doubt that there's sound. I've got good, clean recording. We did have a little bit of a glitch on one other little area today. So I'm not sure. I'm going to assume until I hear back that I am connected, and I will just function that way. I'm not hearing myself on the headphones as I typically do. Which is kind of one of the ways I know if I'm connected or not. So wouldn't that just be the case? So what we got going on here today, I'm digging around looking for some stuff, is I had a couple different things going on. One I've kind of committed to do a multi-part show on investment guidance. My apologies. I am still checking to make sure that I am on the air. I am just not getting the right feedback. Okay, there we go. Now it's working. Okay, excellent. Beautiful. Beautiful thing. Yay! Okay, so I've kind of made a promise to do a couple things. One is I wanted to do a multi-part series on investment guidance. The other one, and I apologize, folks, for sitting there fumble-bumbling around. Technical stuff, let's just say, it is so much fun. It's not my thing. Whenever it comes to electronic stuff, I'm always waiting for a problem. And you know, sadly, I'm right too often, and it kind of is what it is, isn't it? I think we all know that. Can you imagine how stinking dependent we are on this stuff? I mean, our whole lives depend on electronics. I mean, it's wow, you know? And then you think of the progress we've made in the last, 50 and 100 years, and you think of the millennia that man existed on this earth with no change. And then all of a sudden, we start to make these rapid changes, incredible changes, phenomenal changes, and we grow and we adapt and we get technology. And what's really crazy to me, one of the items that I wanted to discuss today is fascism. Well, why do I want to discuss fascism? I'll tell you why. You know, fascism here, fascism there, right? You hear it all over the place, all over the place. But do you really know what it is? I mean, do you really know what fascism is? You know, I mean, maybe you do. Congratulations. But I'll tell you, when I did a lot of research last night. I mean, ridiculous, like too much, like way too much. And I mean, I came up with so many different definitions and perspectives and bits of insight and, you know, different leaders that are radical. I mean, folks, what drives some of these leaders? I mean, where do we get these Benito Mussolinis and these, you know, Lenins and you know, these absolute lunatics, Karl Marx and Giovanni Gentili and Francisco Franco? And, you know, where do these people come from? Is this human nature? Adolf Hitler, is this what people want to be? And then we get people that want to say that, you know, Donald Trump is Hitler. Everybody, you know, and people compared Obama to Hitler. Well, yeah, right, you know, I mean, not quite, you know. But the whole fact of the matter is, where are these people coming from? Why has man throughout history been so angry and tyrannical? And why have they had these perspectives of destruction? And I've, like I've said, I've read, you know, I've repeated this 1,000 times, probably to the point where you're sick of hearing it. I've read all these, you know, Dead Sea Scrolls and all these lost books of the Bible. Not that I don't have complete respect for the Bible, and not that I don't think the actual Bible is the Word of God, and not that my wife and I read the Bible daily, every single day. She's gone right now. She's in Arizona. If you're a prayer warrior, please pray. Her mother has had some pretty serious heart stuff going on. I've had, you know, it's just been a challenging time. I had to put one of my dogs down. To a lot of people, that's a so what. Don't ask me what's wrong with me. I've got this dog disorder. I love my dogs. I mean, you know, whatever. You sit and you listen to this and you're like, they're animals, man. I've had people say that to me. I actually had a close relative who was absolutely hammering on me over a personal issue that we had discussed, that we'd agreed to deal with. And we had had, you know, my wife leaving town, and we had to prepare to put our dog down, and, you know, all these things. And then my relative just, you know, they don't care. They do not care. I don't get it. But I will tell you, back in 92, to date myself, when I was in banking, there was this book that floated through Norwest Banks real quick. And there was a chapter at the end. It was a psychology book. It was floating around right around the same time as the book The Color Code was floating around. And the Color Code was good too. It just was a personality profile test. And this book was floating around the same time, and I don't remember it all. But at the end of the book, near, you know, one of the last chapters, the author was
Lord, we ask forgiveness of our sin. Well, for us, Father. We ask your will be done. We ask this in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it, Lord.
Weird. I am getting heavy-duty feedback. Heavy, heavy-duty feedback just came through my headphones. Of course. Can you believe that? I'm hearing someone else through headphones. That's not good. Don't know what happened there. I hope I'm on the air. Man, I don't know. I just hope I'm on the air. I need to, let's see. I'm going to double check here. Check here. My apologies. So, anyway, so I had to put a dog down, 6 years old, sweetest dog. We ended up with, through a series of goofy events, my daughter's, you know, ex, whatever, and he picked up this dog. We always get dogs that are OFA and AKC approved. The OFA thing, I don't know anymore. It's so expensive. But the AKC, obvious. We'd found a gal in Spirit Lake, Idaho, who had, she was selling OFA dogs, which is basically a guarantee against all kinds of problems. So what had happened to this lady, the OFA is like a certification from the Orthopedic Foundation for Animals. There are 7 categories to describe, you know, like things like hip dysplasia, eyes, all these different parts of the body. And it's very expensive. It guarantees essentially how good the dog's going to be in these different areas. Well, apparently golden retrievers, which I have, they have all kinds of issues because they've been crossbred. For those who care, and I love golden retrievers, so I get, I have a problem. I always end up with them. They have a lot of complications that are possible, and it's because of the breeding. Let's see. I'm going to see if I can find out what it all tests, which I may or may not have success with this. But the thing is, so we got this lady we found in Spirit Lake. She's so backed up now. You'll never get a dog from her. We met her right when she got going, and what had happened was, so she had gotten burned, okay? Just kind of like the dog that we had that just died, okay? I mean, in a way, we could say that the guy who bought it, who was dating my daughter at the time, and ended up marrying her and leaving her while she was pregnant, and it was just sad. But he just went and bought a dog. He didn't know what he was doing. I don't even know if the thing's AKC registered. But our dogs, this lady, she had gone and gotten dogs from all around the U.S. that in different parts of the U.S. have different complications. And so she started to crossbreed. And she had a system she created. And her whole goal was to provide really healthy animals to people because she knew how bad it got. And you guys have all heard of puppy mills. And I'll tell you what, right now, number one, folks, I don't care what you say. I know there's people out there listening that have pit bulls. Love their pit bull. Oh, the pit bull's the nicest dog in the whole wide world. You don't ever have to worry about your pit bull. My pit bull's never bit anybody. And on and on. And pit bulls are the number one human bite dog in existence. They're the number one owner bite in existence. They were designed to do that, and they are. They're sweet. They're cute when they're normal. But they're made to kick some tail. You know, they were bred to be in the ring. They have locked jaws, and they have more biting power than any other breed. When they lock onto you, it is so over. You do not get off, period. And at 2 years old, they is when they can turn. And when my wife and I lost our last dog, which was probably 7-8 years ago, and we had one dog, and through a series of crazy events, we ended up with 3. We'd bought 2. But someone convinced us of what they call littermate syndrome, where Bo, my big male, I have Bo, who is the largest documented male golden retriever in the United States. At one time, he was about 135. Right now, he sits at about 122, and he's just big, and he's barrel chested. He's the sweetest thing you could ever imagine. He's an alpha dog. He's a guardian, but he's not. There isn't a stitch of violence in him.
Hello, I'm Gary Randall. I'm Gary Randall with this Ringtone commentary. A new barn is
I am still getting this other stuff.
Every weekday at 9 a.m.
Man, this is crazy. I'm sorry. I'm getting another radio signal through my headphones, and apparently, I'm trying to get a hold of Tom and Joe, and I can't get a hold of them. And let's see here. It's kind of disappointing. It's embarrassing. It's not right. I'm sorry that I even have to do this. And that you should even be experiencing this. My apologies. But anyway, so pit bulls were designed to be in the ring, and they're dangerous by nature. They are naturally aggressive. They can be trained to absolutely devastate people. It's just a fact. And when we lost our dog, our one dog, like I said, about 8 years ago, we did deep research into every breed. And I couldn't believe that I just couldn't believe it. I could not believe what I read about pit bulls and that kind of a thing. And there's all kinds of breeds. In my book, and everybody's got an opinion, there's golden retrievers and then there's other dogs. And I love golden retrievers. They are the quintessential American dog. They're sweet as pie. They're just kind. I will tell you this, folks. We have, and we just moved, and we really got put in a weird situation because we had this super short period of time. We had 60 days. Our house sold. We had 60 days not only to find a house, but to find a house we could move into where the owners were willing to move out and that met our criteria. And we have a lot of criteria with my wife having rheumatoid arthritis, you know, she having everything centralized is very important to her. The house has really cool bones. It's a huge brick home that was built about 10 years ago. The brick is absolutely gorgeous. It's on a large amount of acreage out in Green Acres. The owner always wanted a brick house, and he built one in. He let his wife design and decorate, and she went a little crazy with color. The great room was lime green carpet with lime green drapes, and on the lime green drapes, she had these little Swarovski crystals, you know, like every inch, and, you know, deep purple, what she called eggplant. Big, beautiful dining room, but it was in deep purple. Purple niches throughout the house. You know, and on it went. And the bathroom, the master suite, if you want to call it that, is crazy. It's pink, bright pink granite, purple paint. You know, and I could go on and on. It's not just paint. It's not stuff that's that easy to fix. It's designed very funky, and it was obviously designed either by them or possibly by the builder who is no longer in business or whatever. So the house needs a renovation remodel. It needs, you know, an extra bedroom and so forth and so on. And really what's funny, or maybe not so funny, is the house, our house needs, they stem, first of all, from our, you know, our desires, but primarily to meet the dog's needs. We wanted acreage and space and all this stuff, and we got it. And that's has a lot to do with how we ended up where we're at today, is trying to meet the needs of the dogs. And so we've got one down. We've got, you know, I've got two left. I've never had, unfortunately, Goldens live an extraordinarily short life. They're about 10 years. And so that's definitely enough of that. We don't want to spend the show on that. But the house is going to be renovated. I'm currently waiting for some bid work on the house through a guy who's apparently got a stellar reputation. I've seen a little bit of his work, but it's an upper end home, and it's a large home, and it needs a little bit of work, and so you know. You want to pray for us? Pray for us. I mean, it's been, moving's tough, right? And then my mom's mother had, and I learned a lesson too, by the way. Folks, here's the deal. My mom's mom smoked and apparently had very, 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 very mild emphysema that had apparently not been diagnosed, okay? So here's what happens. So she goes into surgery, heart-type stuff, where they're putting in stents and all this, and the oxygen burns, what I think the word is aeoli or something. They're the miniature pockets inside the lung, and... I think it's aeoli, but basically it burned all these. The inside of the human lung is kind of like chamber or balloon or whatever, into smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller pieces of, you know, little tiny bubbles or whatever you want to call them. And apparently they had somehow burned those and in her so that her oxygen intake, I think we run about 94%. She's running 25 to 30. So, you know, first of all, of course, Medicare, Medicaid gives you a oxygen tank that looks like a military torpedo on wheels. Impossible to haul around. Not exactly a large quantity of oxygen if you got stuck in a huge traffic jam or a major medical emergency where you were stuck somewhere for 24 hours, you would run out of oxygen and die. And she's at that point right now where she needs the oxygen so bad it just changed overnight. It's really sad. They didn't properly diagnose it. Of course, doctors do those kinds of things. And they never take responsibility. Obviously, there's nothing they can do now. But one thing you'll never, ever hear is a doctor apologize for making a mistake. It's very simple why. It's called liability. And so my wife's down there trying to help her and et cetera. So enough of that. So I really want to cover... the fundamentals of investing and things like that. We'll do that here in a little bit. I'm going to try real hard to kind of buzz through some stuff. So I, first of all, was, you know, fascism, 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 right? You hear it all the time. I love Antifa, the anti-fascist group. They are asking the government to be fascist while they're claiming to be against fascism. It's a shame that all of these heavy protests and rallies and all this always come from the youth that are in college, that are being brainwashed by their professors as well as their friends. They get things in their mind. I've had conversations with college kids. I had a college kid during my daughter's wedding who... happens to work on a pot farm, you know, that there's a class act. Two out of the, you know, I knew how bad it was when two out of the four groomsmen of my Christian daughter's husband, who she led to Christ, two out of four of them worked on marijuana farms, and they're very, very into their marijuana, and marijuana does affect you. I mean, people say it's inert, but it changes. You know, there's so many studies that have been done, and it definitely changes your body. It changes your brain. It's lipid soluble, which means it's fat soluble, which means it sits in your body for 60 or 30 to 90 days. People have flashbacks later, which in a flashback is where that chemical, THC, sits in the fat, and maybe it's sweat, maybe it's just timing, but it comes out in the system, and all of a sudden you're high again. It could be weeks later, weeks after you quit. It could be a month and a half. It's not, you know, marijuana is legal. There are certain aspects of it. CBD oil is becoming very popular. You know, I've spoken to a number of people who swear by it. You know, I don't know. I've never tried it myself. They say for pain, relaxation. It's not the THC. The tetrahydrocannabinol is the component of marijuana that gets you high. CBD, and I can't tell you exactly what it means, is supposed to have other effects that are not illegal. And it's heavily used. It's used very heavily by people. And so you'll see the popularity of it has really, really grown. And it's getting used very, very heavily by people in so many situations. So I wondered what fascism was. And I've heard it. I've said it. I've talked about it. I've heard people talk about it. It's all over the news. It's all over the place. You've got Antifa, like I said, you know, but what's crazy is you'll see all these newscasters, but no one will ever tell you what fascism is. And the problem is, it's because I believe they don't know. So it's, okay, the fascism here, here's what I wrote. I wrote the system of government that cartelizes. Or cartelizes, okay, you know what a cartel is. A cartel is somebody who takes control of the production and profit of an item. Drug cartel is what everybody knows. The drug cartel takes over the whole production and profit of drugs. You know, this MS-13 gangs that come out of South America are as evil as you can imagine. They are part of the cartel. They're just part of this control, this violent culture that exists in Mexico. They control the police. They control everybody and everything. We've wanted to help. We've wanted to work with presidents. But what Trump, I think, doesn't get is the power of these people. Over, you know, the last 7 years, they've killed well over 50,000 people. Gruesome, very, very violent, just tasteless, horrendous, sick activity that you shouldn't even have to think about or discuss. So, in a nutshell, fascism is a system of government that cartelizes, okay? They're going to take over the production and profit of the economy. They take it from the private sector, of course, because you and I are the ones that produce. They centrally plan the economy to subsidize the producers, and then they exalt the police state as the source of order. They deny fundamental, listen to this and understand, they deny, by their very nature, fascism is anti-constitutionalism. It is the exact opposite. So they deny the fundamental constitutional rights and liberties to you, the individual. And they make the executive state the unlimited master of society. Who would that be in our case? It'd be the president. They make that person the absolute, complete, and total ruler, dictator, whatever you want to call him. It describes, you know, the mainstream politics in America today, I think, is is pretty well synonymous with fascism. And not just in America. It's true in Europe as well. It's too much part of the mainstream that is hardly noticed by anyone anymore. People aren't looking. Actually, they don't even care. They just want their paycheck, and they wish it was bigger. As far as fascism, it's invisible. I should have said fascism is invisible. It's truly the silent killer, okay? It is the silent killer of society, of citizens, of everything good. Now, why is it that our founding fathers created the Constitution? It's based on Levitical law, and it's based on old Roman Republic, and it is because the reason that they did it the way they did it is because it is biblical. Everything in the Constitution is biblical. I believe it's a divinely inspired instrument. If you look at everything that went into the creation of it, from the squabbling and so on and so forth, I think that there had to be some very serious respect for some of these leaders who ultimately end up being the heads of state once fascism kicks in and takes place. So it's the silent killer. It fastens a huge, violent, lumbering state, okay, on the free market that drains its capital and productivity, as this guy said, like a deadly parasite on a host. That's why in fascism, that when you know someone is going for fascism when they start this one percenter stuff. And you get your rulers, your Hillary Clintons, and everybody else, and they end up, you know, looking for problems. So, it's just what it is. It's just what it is. So they put this incredible regulation on the state. It's very difficult for the people. The people don't understand. It creeps up on you. It gradually infuses itself, infiltrates every single aspect of society. It puts all this pressure, but it's, you know, regulation or whatever you want to call it. It puts it on the free market. And it literally, fascism drains the capital and productivity like a deadly parasite on a host. Its regulations and bureaucracy steal and drain the life truly free, the life from truly free constitutional capitalism. What's driven me nuts more than anything is just to watch this happen to our country. Because it's quiet. It used to be a little slower and a lot more silent. Now it's loud. It's okay to be proud of it. People were not ashamed to say they were fascist. And back around the turn of the century, fascism was huge. It was a huge political philosophy that, you know, it absolutely ran on our ability, God-given ability, to make a profit, which essentially is it's what makes us unique from all other living organisms. It's regulations and bureaucracy. They steal and drain the life from, from the constitutional from constitutional capitalism. people have argued, and in some cases effectively in my mind, that we are not who we're supposed to be, and we need to become more that way in order to serve God properly and to make our nation, to commit our nation to God in an appropriate manner, okay? So, again, the regulations have been, and they've called it the vampire economy. It literally sucks the economic life out of a nation, and it brings about a slow death of what is, you know, was once a thriving economy. Allowing fascism to creep in, it will kill the economy. It will kill it. It's happened in other nations that don't have the resources or strength to fight back. In this country, we've got the media and academia. The two together are dedicated to get people educated, not to believe against it, but to stand up for it. This is why the fascist state has, like I said, been called the vampire economy. And this, of course, is done in combination with our Keynesian economic system. It's Keynesian or Keynesian or whatever. It's created by John Maynard Keynes. John Maynard Keynes was an absolute fan of Karl Marx. He loved the idea of socialism. Socialism goes in direct, complete, and total contrast to human nature. You are driven for gain, okay? I've discussed, debated, whatever you want to call it, people over this, over and over and over. They'll say, no, I don't want money. I want time. I want this. I want that. Well, God set up a system where we have to have money. Folks, I don't get it. I don't know why. I'm baffled. I'm as baffled as you are. Why did he do it? It's a tangible track record of your heart's condition. Our monetary system is something that you are forced to engage in. There is no choice. Some people choose to live at maximum simplicity, at a level that I could not comprehend. I like nice things, and I'd rather have one really, really nice piece of furniture instead of eight, of the pieces of furniture you just get for more furniture or whatever it may be. It's just what it is. And so it sucks the economic life out of a nation. It brings about a slow death of what was once a thriving economy. This, of course, is done in combination with our Keynesian economic system, like I mentioned. Here's some recent examples, and then I'll try to move on. The first sets of data, of course, every 10 years, we have the census, right? You're probably familiar with that. It happens every 10 years, and it's gathering information on the citizenry of a nation and how many people live there. And now we're getting all kinds of fake information because people are afraid it's going to be used against them. The law says it can't be. The law tells us that information disclosed in a census cannot be used against you legally. I suppose that makes sense. That way they get true data. However, regardless of what the law states, people will still tend to completely and totally ignore that and protect themselves. And that is exactly what they do. They keep it about them, to be honest with you. So from the census, the headline story concerned the largest increase in now think of this. The last census was in 2010. Okay, we're getting close to another one. It showed the largest increase in poverty in 20 years. And now that's up another 15%. So we are diving into poverty as a nation. Why? How? Simple. The Keynesian economic system. It's designed to do this. John Maynard Keynes himself says, you know, through a long-term series of inflation, it allows the government to confiscate an important part of the people's wealth without, secretly and unobserved without their knowing it. It works. Then they tell you the consumer price index, which is supposed to dictate what inflation was changed fundamentally by Bill Clinton. It started, believe it or not, with Reagan, and Reagan's whole motivation was to maximize the drug war, and we lost so many civil rights, we're completely unaware of it. Buried in this census, the report is another fact that has much more profound significance for most people, which concerns median household income in real terms. What the data have revealed is devastating. Since 1999, median household income has fallen 7.1%. Now you have to realize that when they're dictating or determining or mathematically calculating, they do take into account inflation, okay? Well, you and I don't. Number one, you just know what your paycheck is. Is it bigger? Is it smaller? Number two, people... Oh, excuse me. Here we go. We've got ourselves a little more technical difficulties. Just a blast to deal with. Okay, I think we're back. It's something you don't even think about. It's our median household income has fallen 7.1%. Since 1989, median family income it was largely flat and unchanged. So for 10 years, it stayed pretty flat. Since 99, we've tanked. 2001, The Trade Tower supposed attacks, which I won't get into. I always say that, I believe, was orchestrated, planned, and it was to gain massive, to create a military state that people didn't understand was a military state. And then you get the NSA, and all your rights are thrown out the window. They're given incredible levels of rights, and that's what it is. And that's how they were able to, you know, first Bill Gates wouldn't cooperate. They destroyed his reputation. Clinton threatened to do so. He did. And as a result, he began charity. He began to give and he started to share his wealth and it's just something that's super, you know, hard to understand, and that's just where we are. So it's like I said, buried in the report is the fact that of the profound significance of the drop in median household income since 1973. Now this is important, folks. Think about this. What happened in 73? 73 is when Nixon deregulated precious metals, gold primarily. Silver has never been controlled that way. but gold always had. One of the problems with gold is the fact that it, you know, if you have a substantial amount of money, it does make theft a lot easier. We basically have a wonderfully hidden vault in our new house, but the old one I called the, the drive-in garage, the safe was so huge, it's unbelievable. We have the highest rated privately held depository service in the Western region. So we've got median household incomes dropping. Since 73 and the end of the gold standard, this is important. This is when Nixon ended the gold standard. Now you're thinking, well, I thought the gold standard ended clear back in 1913 with the introduction of the Federal Reserve Act. Well, you're partially correct, because even though we were still on the gold standard, we were not operating properly. We were just faking people out, and we ended up creating like a 33-to-1 ratio of gold clause notes to the gold that was in our possession, supposedly. Everybody says, I don't believe there's gold in Fort Knox, and it's not true. And they're right. There's gold there, but it's not ours. It's twice at minimum. It's twice obligated, once to the Fed, but even more so to other countries. I don't know if you remember when Angela Merkel, the head of the state of Germany, wanted her gold back. They said, fine, it's going to take some time. That was 7 or 8 years ago. We've produced nothing for her. Perhaps we explained to her the real problem. I don't know if it was a public outcry, if she wanted a public event. I just don't know what exactly to think about that situation. And, to me, it's just critical that you have a full understanding. So since the end of the gold standard in 73, it hasn't risen at all. The great wealth-generating machine that was once America is truly failing. Folks, I'm sorry. I'm negative. I'm only telling you the truth, okay? Please understand, I'm only telling you the truth. I am in no way just trying to be negative. I just don't want to be that way. And I'll tell you that studying, reading, and learning about this stuff over time has had its impact on me, unquestionably. It's almost as if, you know, it was done by a machine. And it wasn't. And the gold standard allowed people to start owning gold bullion again. We had severe objections to apartheid, which is a government control vehicle, which is very violent, very brutal, very cruel, very destructive. It's a tough system, and so it's just really important that you understand that the loss, the abandonment of the gold standard was the beginning of where we sit today. We also have just been blessed beyond all kinds of stuff, my only daughter's grandson, whose name is Elijah, which is a cool name, because you all know about Elijah. She named him after a biblical character who is a pretty cool guy. The data What the data has revealed is, you know, that the we're falling more since the statistical recession, and it's said to be ending more and more, getting worse and worse, basically. The only people who've actually experienced monetary growth have done so through precious metals and rare coins. I found this to be profound. This was in multiple readings that I read. The only people who have truly made money, and I'm talking true money. I'm not talking this phony Dow Jones index, none of this stuff. The only people who've truly made money have been through precious metals and rare coins. Now, you're going to see ups, you're going to see downs, you're going to see sideways, you're going to see everything. But the only people who've actually experienced monetary growth have done so through precious metals-based assets and rare coins. Right now, they're strong. I mean, they're holding their own. Rare coins, good quality rare coins, are solid as a rock. They keep going up. It surprises me, but it's true. They just keep growing. They keep growing and they keep growing and they keep growing. And praise God, you know, he created a system that works. And so I would say that if you have a 401k or IRA, get your money out of whatever it is you got. Get it over. Give us a call. 444-0044. We'll get you an account opened up. It's super simple. You transfer your money over. You're in a free market, a free money market, where you're making a couple percent interest. The fee structure is so minuscule, it's irrelevant. It's like double digits, like $35 or something. I haven't kept up lately, but Mike takes care of that. He's very, very good at it. And we, you know, you have nothing to lose. When you buy a 401k or IRA in precious metals-based assets, you have nothing to lose. Please keep that in mind. You have nothing to lose, okay? The money sits there. Then, if you decide, when you decide to convert it to precious metals, we actually help you choose the metals. Those metals get stored in the trust. I discussed, you know, our personal depository service. They have special ones just for this purpose. Reason being is they have to know where the money is. There's false advertising out there. I haven't heard it lately, but it gives you the false impression that you can hold your own precious metals that are in a 401k or IRA. And I obviously, I disagree with a lot of the system. I just think that you need to be protected in a good way. So again, the only people making money are through precious metals and rare coins. And this has gone on since 73. And the returns are profound in the upper 4,000% range. I'm talking, you know, one thing about precious metals and coins I've learned is the stair step effect. You're going to see huge surges and then corrections. And then you're going to see kind of what I call packing down the dirt, where it'll sit there and it'll just kind of solidify. And then all of a sudden you'll see another surge, another correction. And then it sits there and packs down the dirt. We're finishing up a position in time where we are officially packing down the dirt. We're just about done doing it. We've got every folks unbelievable reason for huge movement. Now, people were crazy, you know, about it a while ago, and now they're afraid. Why? Oh, they're brokers. Stay away from gold. Look at the corrections. Look at how much it's done this. Look how much it's done that. No, it's absolutely held its own. The problem is you can't look at the high, the highest of highs, and see a correction and say, oh, what a horrible investment. It's not growing all the time. I've heard brokers say so many silly things. You want your money, they say, in something that produces a profit or that actually produces something. In other words, they're trying to sell you stock, corporate activity. When you buy stock, what are you buying? You are buying a company who's dependent upon their ability to make a profit. You're depending upon people's ability to make a profit. You're depending upon the clientele continuing to purchase that profit or that product. You are faced with companies like Apple that are so tapped out. They're stretched so thin. You've got companies like Amazon, Jeff Bezos, filthy, filthy, filthy rich. They call it strategic corporate investing, or I don't remember the exact word, but basically what it means is the CEO of these companies will literally line his own pockets. He just makes sure he's covered. He does not worry about you and your needs at all. He doesn't look into it. He doesn't look for it. He doesn't care. And so I'm just, I don't know. It makes me sad to see what has happened to a property like ours that is unique. They had apparently had it on the market long enough that we, you know, probably paid $250,000 more than I wish we'd paid. And that just is what it is. So be aware of that, just so that you don't think, you don't have unrealistic expectations. So the only people who've actually experienced, we talked about that. No longer can one generation expect to live a better life than the previous one. That's sad, isn't it? That you cannot expect to live a better life than prior generations. Before the deregulation of the gold standard, and before the runaway hyperinflation of Keynesian economics, you could do that. Well, I went way over. I'm not sure where it ended, but I guess for the sake of the pre-recorded portion, I'll just continue. I went too far, and that's what I do. So I missed the close. My apologies. Thanks again for tuning in. For those of you that listen on the radio, you'll be able to hear the end of the show. And I overdid it, and my apologies. Take care. God bless you, and have a terrific weekend. And I hope that you will make some decisions to preserve and protect your finances through precious metals. Praise God. Take care. Thanks for your support. And we'll be back Monday. And I'm way over. God bless. Bye-bye.